Butler says, give me the ball. Butler, the drive, the runner, he banks it in. Oh, what a masterpiece from Jimmy Butler. And the Heat go up by 9 with 1:13 remaining.
Jimmy Butler and Miami Heat, they win last night, Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Eric Spoelstra on Jimmy Butler's performance.
It's really hard to analyze or describe Jimmy until you actually feel him between the four lines. He is a supreme elite competitor, and we needed it. Obviously, this was a very desperate, urgent game, and he was doing it on both ends of the court, just put his imprint at every important part of the game. And, he's in the top percentile of this entire association in terms of conditioning.
So Miami Heat win last night. Jimmy Butler, tremendous performance. 40 points, 11 rebounds, 13 assists, 14 of 20 from the floor. He refused to let his team go down 3-0. Third player in NBA Finals history to post a 40-point triple-double. LeBron and Jerry West, the other two. Third player since 1980 to score 40 or more points without taking a three in the finals. That would be Shaquille and Kareem, a couple of centers. Led the Heat to the second biggest NBA Finals upset in the past 30 years. And James LeBron had 25 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists for the Lakers. But the Heat win last night, 115-104. Game 4 is coming up tomorrow night, 8 o'clock on ABC. If the Heat win that one, now we really have a series. But at least the Heat won last night to make things a little bit interesting, which is all I wanted to see. Because if the Heat lose last night, then it's just a coronation. Lakers probably get the sweep. So give a lot of credit to Jimmy Butler. Shorthanded, no Goran Dragic, no Bam Adebayo. And the Heat found a way to win because Jimmy Butler came up huge last night as the Heat now down 2-1 at best of seven series. Of course, the Chiefs-Patriots game is tonight on Z96.3 Lake. We'll talk more about that coming up in a moment and explain what happened to force the game to today. But first, we'll recap local sports from over the weekend with Dusty.
Yes, high school volleyball from the weekend. If you miss any of the full scores, you can find them all at ncksports.com. Concordia Invitational, White Pool, Smith Center ended up in first place in their pool. They went 3-1 on the weekend, winning in 3 over Marysville. They lost to Clay Center in 2. They beat Riley County in 2 and then beat Minneapolis in 2 as well. Smith Center's now 22-3 on the season after going 3-1 in the tournament. In the Red Pool, Beloit goes 2-2. They lose to Hanover in 3, but they beat Southeast Slin in 2, followed by a loss in 2 to Concordia, and a win in 2 over Marion to finish the tournament. As Beloit's now 13-10 on the season. Concordia went 4-0, winning their home Red Pool there with wins over all those teams that Beloit played, including Beloit there on Saturday in Concordia. Rock Hills Quads, St. John's Tipton goes 3-0 with wins in 2 over Lincoln, Rock Hills, and Pike Valley. St. John's Tipton now 15-7. Pike Valley beat Rock Hills in 3 and Lincoln in 3, and then Lincoln falling to Rock Hills in 2 in the other match. And then at the Logan Palco Quad, Thunder Ridge goes 2-1, as they beat Logan Palco in 3 and then fell to Lynn in 3 before winning over Republic County in 2 to finish out their portion of that quad there in Logan. Again, full scores are at ncksports.com. You can also find results from the MCL Mixed League Girls Tennis Tournament. Number one doubles, Allison Brummer and Gracie Reiner went 2-2 and finished in third place. They were the top finisher for Osborne there at the tournament. And again, the full results are at ncksports.com.
I understand Osborne volleyball team is under quarantine.
Yes, so that's my understanding right now, and sounds like until October 12th is what I was told.
14th is what I heard.
Okay.
So
might have changed.
12th, I think they backed it up a couple of days.
Yeah.
But, whatever, mid-October. So Osborne volleyball team, really the first team, I think, in our immediate listening area to be affected by any kind of quarantines or through COVID-19. So we'll see how all that works out for them as they try to get back up and going at that point in time. They'll have a league tournament. Next thing you know, it'll be sub-state and boom, boom, boom. So we'll see how that goes. Travis Kelce's 31st birthday is today, and Travis gets to play on his birthday. Not that they planned that, but it worked out that way. If you kind of crazy stuff that happened over the weekend, the Chiefs came down on Saturday that the Patriots quarterback Cam Newton had COVID-19. So it's like, oh, okay. So then they go through this. Next thing you know, the scout team quarterback who played the role of Cam Newton for the Chiefs against the Patriots as they prepared for this game happened to have COVID-19. They did the contact tracing, this and that. Long story short, they had to postpone the game yesterday, and they're going to play it tonight. 6:05 is kickoff. It is confirmed. It's a go this morning. The Patriots, no further positive test, nor the Chiefs. And it is going to be a weird situation. Patriots without their starting quarterback, and Brian Hoyer will be the starting quarterback, who looked horrible when the Chiefs rolled him in that game against the Texans in the playoffs. You remember that? Chiefs' first playoff win in quite some time, 30-0. Niall Davis had the kick return for a score right off the bat, and the Chiefs got that win. Of course, then they lost in the next round to the Patriots that year with Alex Smith, the quarterback. So now Chiefs will face Brian Hoyer, it looks like, will get the start for the Patriots. Patriots flying out today. That is very abnormal. Usually teams will fly out the day before and then play the game the next day, stay at a hotel, get rested up for the game. So the Patriots are flying out probably as we speak here this morning, and they will be at Arrowhead, and then the game at 6:05, pregame at 5 o'clock. We've already previewed this game on Friday, so we really won't waste a lot of time previewing it again. If you missed our preview, go back on the podcast page, Sports Ticket Podcast, at our website, katycountry94.com, and you can hear what we have to say about the matchup. But here is Andy Reid about facing Belichick and the Patriots.
We know what they're about. They're a heck of a football team, and they're as well coached as anybody in the National Football League on both sides of the ball and special teams, tough and aggressive and well-schooled. So nobody does it better than Bill does it in this league, and he's time-tested.
Chiefs are a 7-point favorite. I don't know what the line is now, but I would imagine that line has grown because there's no Cam Newton and the Patriots have to fly out the day of the game. And this is a game that people are going to think they have it all figured out. Chiefs are going to roll. No, Brian Hoyer, not that good. Cam Newton, not playing. Patriots have to fly the day of the game. And I think that's where the Chiefs can let up and say, have a letdown and go, oh, okay, we don't have to face Cam. Yeah, Patriots, they're up against it. I never underestimate the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick. I never will, as long as those two are in combination with each other. I think the Chiefs are still in for a pretty good game tonight. The Chiefs had their distractions, too. The only great thing about the distractions they dealt with was it wasn't their starting quarterback, clearly, and they are at home. They're at Kansas City, so they have to worry about flying or figure out when they're going to leave or their flight being postponed and all the changes schedule-wise of traveling, but they have had to deal with the changes in the schedule of playing a Monday night game, which they just played a Monday night game. So they get a little extra time to prepare for the Patriots, but then they'll have less time to prepare for the Raiders, and then they'll turn around and play the Bills on a Thursday night, and the Bills look like the real deal after they won yesterday. So Curtis Siebold, 810 WHB Kansas City, will be our guest tomorrow. We were planning on just talking about Chiefs. Now we're planning on talking about immediately after the game tomorrow morning with Curtis. Hopefully he can still join us to talk about the Chiefs-Patriots tonight. Of course, the Titans-Steeler game was postponed to October 25th. There was a positive test for a Saints player before the Lions-Saints game, but they retested, and it was a false positive, and he was actually negative, so they actually got to play that game. There was a little bit of rumors going around. Some coaches, NFL, said, let's go ahead and put a pause on the season, and then let's go ahead and play like a 9 games the rest of the way or something crazy like that. It's like, oh, my gosh, can we just let this play out a little bit before we overreact? I mean, it's just what we do in this country nowadays. We just overreact and freak out because of a positive test. So we'll see how the NFL will deal with this. Major League Baseball dealt with it with the Marlins and the Cardinals, who, oddly enough, are both in the playoffs. Of course, Cardinals got knocked out the other day. But they had to deal with stoppages and games rescheduled. And the NFL does have a few weeks there at the end of the season. They could reschedule some stuff. There's a little bit of flexibility. So we'll see how it all plays out. The NFL's been very fortunate to go smooth sailing until basically week four. So that's a win in itself. Certainly, to be selfish as a Chiefs fan, a team that certainly looks like a team capable of winning a Super Bowl and going back-to-back if they stay healthy, hate to see a year wiped out because of COVID-19 or you couldn't finish it, and then waste a year of Mahomes' prime.
Mm-hmm.
But it is what it is. We'll deal with it. But right now, no talk of canceling anything or pausing the season per se now. Chiefs-Patriots are on, and should be an interesting game and a different dynamic, and you can listen to it on Z96.3 Lake with the pregame at 5 o'clock. If you want to watch on TV, it'll be on CBS, regular CBS television. So if you had regular shows you like to watch on Monday night on CBS, I'm sorry, but it's preempted by Chiefs-Patriots Monday Night Football at 6:05 on CBS, which I'm sure that hasn't happened for a very, 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 very long time. And then the Falcons and the Packer game has been moved back a little bit so that you can watch all the Chiefs game and still catch the end of the Packer-Falcon game. So it is interesting. It is crazy. And I didn't think – I still have a hard time figuring this all out, though, because I would think Cam Newton was around a lot of people and around a lot of players. How in the world do the Patriots have enough players to play after 2 days or 48 hours within a test that was positive? Chiefs had a scout team quarterback who apparently wasn't around a lot of Chiefs players, and they have tracking devices, believe it or not, so the Chiefs are able to contact, trace, and figure that stuff out. I don't know what the rules are. There are no rules. I mean, the NFL has made it as clear as mud as to, well, what are, you know, how many players do you need to have COVID in order not to play? You know, obviously the Titans had 6 players and 5 personnel, and they got a few more positives yesterday. So now the Titans game this coming weekend against the Bills is in danger of being played. And if you want to think of it from a selfish Chiefs standpoint, think about this for a second. If the Bills don't play this weekend and the Chiefs do play this weekend, the Bills will have 2 weeks to prepare for the Chiefs, and the Chiefs will have 4 days to prepare for the Bills and have to travel to Buffalo. But it is what it is. You just got to, whatever we got to do to get the games in. But the Titans are being investigated for breaking protocol because of their outbreak. They say they didn't do anything wrong. It'll be investigated. And that's all it takes for one team not to follow the rules. And we talk about this in this country, too. It takes one group of people or one person to ruin everything for a lot of other people because of contact tracing and quarantine and this and that. But I still am trying to figure out how only Cam Newton has it. I have a hard time figuring out how only the Chiefs scout team quarterback has it. I don't know. I find that hard to believe that only one player on each team has it and everybody else has been negative. Am I crazy to think that?
I think more so with the Patriots, I would say, because, again, you know, Tiamu, and I don't know if they would release if other practice squad guys get it or not, but, you know, Tiamu probably isn't, again, having a lot of contact with the rest of the regular roster here. So, but, yeah, it is hard to believe that Cam Newton wasn't around a lot of people and it didn't pass through somehow, but. Unless maybe it's such a quick, but usually they say it incubates like 4 or 5 days before you even know,
right?
Before you can even test positive,
right?
So I don't know.
I mean, you could have players tonight playing. Of course, we've already had that where they technically tested negative, and the next few days from now, we'll find out Patriots have 10 players, Chiefs have 10 players with COVID. It's kind of scary. We'll see over the next few days. It is something though, where you can test right away, and they can test daily now. The NFL's testing daily. And yet people across this country have to wait weeks to find out if they have COVID. I digress. You know, sports is more important than regular people, apparently. So anyway, over the weekend, the Panthers beat the Cardinals 31-21. The Panthers are 2-0 without Christian McCaffrey. Makes total sense, doesn't it? Cardinals, the last two in a row. The Bears are no longer undefeated. Nick Foles, he's the next coming of... Nick Foles. Colts beat the Bears 19-11. Mitch Trubisky's probably kind of secretly laughing about that one a little bit. Nick Foles was a journeyman quarterback who was out of this league, and Andy Reid and the Chiefs resurrected his career to where he played a little bit with the Chiefs, backup for Alex Smith. Next thing you know, he goes somewhere else, and he has that Cinderella run with the Eagles, wins the Super Bowl, and then signs this $88 million contract with Jaguars, plays just a few games, broke his collarbone against Chiefs in week one. Next thing you know, he's traded. That's how much the Jaguars think of him. Although Minshew played well. So then he gets traded. He's with the Bears, and they managed 11 points, 3 points until late touchdown, a two-point conversion. So perhaps Nick Foles isn't completely answering. In fairness, it was just his first start as a Bear. Probably still winning a system.
And he did lead them back the week before to keep Mitchell Trubisky's record at 3-0.
He did.
Yeah.
He did
so
do that,
it's
right,
like,
coming off the bench. But
yeah.
But sometimes coming off the bench
is different.
Then you're a starter.
Sure, yeah.
For the other team, you're prepared for who the starter is, whereas the Falcons weren't prepared for Foles coming off the bench, although you should have been. Bengals beat the Jaguars 33-25. Joe Burrow's first career win at quarterback of the Bengals. The Cowboys, you know, I just want to say this about the Dallas Cowboys. First of all, the stuff about America's team, can we put that to rest and bury it? Because the Cowboys are not my team, and I'm an American. So they're not America's team. I don't know. I don't care if they have a star or whatever they want. The Cowboys are the most underachieving football team year in and year out. It just happens over and over. Because obviously the problem is Jason Garrett. You know, Jason Garrett was a problem, and now Mike McCarthy apparently is the problem. Apparently the players don't have to take any responsibility. Dak Prescott throws for 1 million yards. It doesn't matter. See, these are where stats don't mean anything. You know, I'm so sick of it because all these awards get based off of stats, MVPs. Like I talked about Greek the Freak for the Bucks. He's going to get the MVP. His stats are better than LeBron's. They are. But who's really truly the most valuable player? LeBron is. Every year. It's really silly you give it to Greek the Freak because LeBron is the best player. He's the most valuable player. It's been proven over and over 17 years. And the Cowboys yesterday, their quarterback threw for over 500 yards. Three straight games, Dak Prescott has thrown for over 450 yards. You know what his record is in those three games? 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the win he got? When he was down 26 to the Falcons?
Yeah.
The Falcons blew it because they didn't drop on an onside kick, didn't fall on top of it. Dak Prescott's a really good quarterback. Don't get me wrong. I'm not taking shots at Dak Prescott. My shots would be at the Dallas defense. Dallas defense couldn't stop the run. The Browns ran for over 300 yards. Baker Mayfield only had to throw for 165, and the Browns scored 49 points. I am so sick and tired of hearing about how great the Cowboys are. They're not any good. Until they start winning games, every year we go through the song and dance. It seems like we've been doing this for like at least 5 or 6 years, where every year the Cowboys should run away with the NFC East. And at the end of the year, we're wondering if anybody in that division is going to have a winning record. That the Cowboys somehow are lucky and always play in the NFC East, because if they're in another division, they wouldn't have a chance of making the playoffs. And here we are. The Eagles, who stunk the first 3 weeks, came back and beat the Niners last night. And do you know the Eagles are in first place in that division? The Eagles are 1-2-1, and they're in first place. As bad as the Eagles are, as bad as the Redskins are, the Cowboys are worse at 1-3. You know, granted, the Redskins are 1-3, too. But the Cowboys are 1-3. The Giants are horrible. They're 0-4. The Cowboys are 1-3. They have way more talent than anybody else in that division. I don't even think it's close. They've got maybe the best running back in football. They've got one of the top probably five quarterbacks in the league right now, or the way he's playing, Dak Prescott. They've got one of the top receivers, Amari Cooper. And they've got, you know, I know they have some injuries on offensive line, but they usually have a really good offensive line. And I'm sitting here, I'm trying to figure this out. They got CeeDee Lamb, one of the most talented rookie receivers. How in the heck do the Cowboys lose week in and week out? They were getting throttled by the Falcons at home. They were getting throttled by the Browns yesterday at home, 41-14. And if not for a run there in the fourth, made it look respectable, the Cowboys would have been completely embarrassed and run out of their own stadium. You know, the billion-dollar stadium that Jerry built. The Cowboys are what the Cowboys are, year in and year out. I am so sick in hearing about how talented the Cowboys are, how good the Cowboys can be. I'm not even a Cowboys fan, and I'm frustrated because I'm so sick of hearing it. The Dallas Cowboys are a bad football team right now. What do you mean? Dak Prescott threw for 500 yards. That's great. It don't matter. It does not matter. Listen, Patrick Mahomes scored 51 points, him and the Chiefs offense against the Rams, and lost 54-51. Do you think I care the Chiefs scored 51 points and lost? No. I care that they won. And I've seen the boat racing. That's why they got, you know, it was fun for a while. Mahomes throwing for tons of yards, and the Chiefs have to score every time they have the ball because the defense is so awful. But after a while, it was like, dude, we know we're not going to win at all because we just can't overcome that deficiency. We have to get better defensively. The Chiefs did. So now Mahomes throws for, you know, the other night he threw for a lot of yards against the Ravens, 385 or whatever it was. But, you know, the win over the Chargers, I have no problem winning 23-20 in overtime when the Chiefs don't even play well. And Mahomes throws for 220. I'm cool with it. I would rather win 23-20 than 48-45 because that means I know, one, the offense might have had a bad day, still won. The defense at least is good enough to where I don't have to rely on my offense to be on their A-plus game to have a chance. That's what the Cowboys are right now. The Cowboys, even when their quarterback throws for 500 yards, they lose by 11. They lose by 11, not by a field goal or a fluky bounce of the ball. They got steamrolled, and that means that they can't use Ezekiel Elliott because they're down by so many points. So one of their biggest weapons isn't even a weapon, and they're paying a ton of money for him, and I've said it when they signed him. You give running backs these gigantic contracts, it's going to come back and bite you in the butt. And it did with the Falcons with the Rams with Todd Gurley. It has with other running backs as well. And I think Ezekiel Elliott, it'll catch up to them on top of it. But right now, they're saving Ezekiel Elliott. And maybe it'll work out because he don't have to carry the ball 30 times because his team's behind by 27 going in the fourth quarter. I mean, can you please tell me if there's another team that is more underachieving in this league year in and year out than the Dallas Cowboys? At least the Chiefs would win 10 or 11 games and overachieve. And then, of course, in the playoffs. We know that. But the Cowboys just flat out, every year they get bailed out because their division's so bad. And here we are again. They're in the perfect division. The NFC East is abysmal. The Eagles are very fortunate to win last night. Carson Wentz has not played well ever since he had the ACL tear when he was being an MVP. And they got lucky. And then, by the way, the 49ers have a ton of injuries. So the Eagles found a way to win last night. The Giants are god-awful. The Redskins have a quarterback that actually played pretty well yesterday, but the Redskins aren't very good. They're rebuilding. And God bless Ron Rivera, who's battling cancer and still coaching. I mean, that guy needs a break. I mean, I pray for him. And then there's the Cowboys. Ooh, Dak Prescott threw for 500 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. Woohoo, yay. You didn't win anything. You lost by 11 to the Browns, who apparently are somewhat legit because the Browns decided instead of Baker heave it 50 times a game, maybe we'll run it with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, and it's working. The Browns have found their identity. The Cowboys, I don't know what their identity is underachieving. That's their identity. It's as simple as that. I heard so many times from Cowboy fans, Jason Garrett's the problem. We got way too much talent on this team. Jason Garrett's the problem. Well, now you got Mike McCarthy. But you have some of the same players. And they put up nice numbers. So what's the problem? Are you going to tell me it's the coach? He's only coached 4 games. And trust me, I didn't think Mike McCarthy, I thought it was a good hire for the Cowboys based on what was out there. But Mike McCarthy's not a great coach. I don't think. I know he won a Super Bowl, so automatically he won a Super Bowl. He's a great coach. Dude, that guy underachieved in Green Bay.
Oh, absolutely.
So now you team up a coach that I would say was an underachiever. I mean, he won enough games. It helps when you have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, okay? That helps. All right?
Yes.
So Mike McCarthy wins a lot of games to make the playoffs, but then they never did get back to the Super Bowl when they should have been there multiple times. And now he goes, I would say one of the most underachieving coaches based on the guy he had at quarterback and the talent he had at Green Bay, goes to the most underachieving franchise in maybe professional sports right now, the Dallas Cowboys. It's a match made in heaven, baby. It's a match made in heaven. I mean, I'm just, every time I turn on the TV, I keep hearing about the announcers. I don't care if it's Troy Aikman, former Cowboy, by the way, and other people talking about how talented this Cowboy team is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The Miami Heat played the Milwaukee Bucks. I would argue the Bucks are more talented. Didn't matter. The Celtics certainly are more talented, I think. It didn't matter. And there's no doubt the Lakers are more talented with the two of the top five players in the league. And I still think it'd be amazing if the Heat won. And it was amazing they won last night. But the Heat proved that you don't have to have the most talent to have one of the best teams. We see it every single – why doesn't Kansas and Kentucky and Duke win the national championship every year? They have the most talent.
Yeah, because teams get hot and they play the right at the right time.
Well, that, and you got to build team chemistry.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes it doesn't work. And the Cowboys are still searching for it. I mean, this defense of the Cowboys, and Sean Lee's hurt. Sean Lee's always hurt. And I heard that the other day. Well, Sean Lee's hurt. Sean Lee's hurt every single year. It's like the Cowboys season is the same thing every single year. Well, we're off to a bad start. Now we got to scramble to get to 9-7 and win this crappy division. Woohoo! Oh, wait a minute. Sean Lee's hurt. Notify the presses. Sean Lee's hurt. Well, there goes our defense. Oh, we got all these other talented guys on your defense. It's the coaches. Coaches stink. Well, okay, you change coaches. Coaches still stink. What are you going to do? Fire them in the middle of the season? Sometimes the players have to take responsibility. It isn't always on the coaches. And the Cowboys, by the way, Dak Prescott threw for 500 yards. Can you explain to me why he only had 14 points at the end of three quarters? Well, one, the defense didn't stop the run, so the Browns could play time of possession. Get that. But at the same time, Dak Prescott's starting to turn into Phillip Rivers. Except Prescott doesn't throw as many picks as Phillip Rivers.
No.
But he's got all this, gets this yardage in the third quarter, fourth quarter. It pads his stats. And I'm sitting here going, is Dak Prescott really that good? Or is it just the defense is going, we've got these big leads. We'll give him 15 yards. So what? Mm-hmm. Let him take 5 minutes down the field to try to score. I think Dak Prescott is very talented. I like Dak Prescott. I appreciate what he did, talking about his mental health, losing his brother, contrary to Skip Bayless being a moron. I think it's great that Dak Prescott, I think he is a stand-up guy. I've never met him. He seems like a great guy, and I wish him the best. I really do. And he's doing everything he can for that team. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how many yards Dak Prescott throws for. Just like Mahomes, it doesn't matter unless you win. If you win, it matters. If you don't, just save it.
Dallas's defense is bad, obviously.
It is bad. But, and then the excuses are injuries. The 49ers defense has tons of injuries, and they somehow can still play defense.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though, is the Cowboys have issues holding on to the football. And they had two turnovers in the first half that Cleveland had just tied the game at 14, and you turned it over twice, and they scored on both of those.
And what
they
when bad teams
you put your
do
defense in bad position when you turn the ball over.
Absolutely.
If it's bad enough already, you don't want to give Cleveland
a short field.
And so, boom, boom, they're up 28-14, and it's all the defense's fault.
Yeah.
Even at that point.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you need to hold on to the ball.
That would
they
help.
They turned it over at least three straight drives against the Falcons when the Falcons got up to that big lead.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got lucky there because the Falcons, like you said, the Falcons blew it. And Dallas was able to come back and win that game, or else they would be 0-4 right now. They should be 0-4.
They should be 0-4. Absolutely.
I mean, there's no question about it.
There
and they're just, they need to do a better job of holding on to the football. You can talk about how good Dak is if you want. If you're a Cowboys fan that I know that talks about him all the time on Twitter.
Sure.
Listen, you can't make mistakes if your defense is that bad. No. Chiefs fans know that.
Yes, we do.
And so if you're putting them in bad positions and giving them short fields because you're making mistakes and not holding on to the football, it's a team effort, okay? And so you're down 28-14 and all your energy's gone because you just lost two turnovers and gave up two touchdowns, did not score again until the fourth quarter.
And by the way, Prescott had two other passes that should have been picked. They weren't, but they should have been. And he had the pick there at the end, and that was when him and Amari Cooper were on the same page, which whether that's Cooper's fault or Prescott's fault, I don't know. Bottom line is when your defense gives up that many points, and yes, you're right, the offense didn't help him out in some of those situations. At the same time, you have to almost be perfect on offense.
Oh, absolutely.
And we saw that with the Chiefs, and it's still amazing to me. You know, of all the things people want to point out about the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, and they want to talk about how great Patrick Mahomes is and the amazing comebacks last year and, you know, what he did against Baltimore the other night and no-look pass and the left-handed pass against Denver and all this stuff that Mahomes does, and all of it is unbelievably great. I still think the most impressive thing that Patrick Mahomes has done in his NFL career is take the Chiefs to the AFC title game his first year as a starter with that horrible defense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if the Chiefs get a coin flip to go their way, the Chiefs go down and score. There's no doubt in my mind. The Patriots couldn't stop the Chiefs in the second half in overtime of that. Well, not overtime because they didn't have to defend the Chiefs. They couldn't stop the Chiefs. I mean, they couldn't stop them to go get a field goal with 25 seconds left in the game to tie it and force overtime. I mean, the Patriots had no answers. Mahomes had figured stuff out. So did Andy Reid. And had that coin flip gone the Chiefs' way, the Chiefs, I think, would have won the game. They went down, scored, would have won. And then the Chiefs might have won the Super Bowl, a rematch against the Rams. It would have been a boat race, probably. And Chiefs might have won the Super Bowl. And Bob Sutton still might be the defensive coordinator, so maybe it's a blessing in disguise. Or maybe they would have still got rid of him. But here's the point. Patrick Mahomes was so freaking good his first year as a starter and still didn't even know how to read coverages. I mean, he was learning on the fly, even though he had a year under his belt, you know, as Alex Smith as a mentor. It's still amazing to me that Patrick Mahomes got the Chiefs to the AFC title game and were a coin flip away of beating the big bad Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots with a horrendous defense. If D Ford didn't jump off sides, Mahomes would have been in the Super Bowl his first year as a starter with a deplorable defense. So, yes. And Mahomes had to be almost perfect because the offense had to score almost every single time. Almost every single time. And that's what the Cowboys are starting to feel. That's what Dak Prescott's starting to feel. Like, hey, yay, I threw for 500 yards. I lost. Well, Mahomes goes, hey, we scored 51 against the Rams. I lost. I feel your pain. I've been there. Done that. Scored 40 on the, 40 against the Patriots. Lost in New England. So it's great. Your offense is awesome, but you got to have a little bit of help somewhere. And the Chiefs somehow made it to the AFC title game despite having one side of the ball that was really, really bad. It doesn't usually work out that way unless you have an unbelievable quarterback. Aaron Rodgers has taken some teams that have had bad defenses and got them in the playoffs. Peyton Manning took teams all the time to the playoffs with bad defenses. And the one year the defense finally figured it out and Bob Sanders got healthy, they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
There's no coincidence there.
No.
None whatsoever. It's no coincidence that the Chiefs fired the defensive coordinator, brought in a new defensive coordinator, found pieces that fit his system, and in his first year as D coordinator, it's no coincidence the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. That is not a coincidence. And the Cowboys are going to have to figure it out on the defensive side of the ball. Otherwise, they're going nowhere. Now, they may still win this crappy division at 8-8 or 8-7-1 or 7-8-1. Who knows? But this division, they're the Cowboys are so lucky to be in the division they're in. And it just seems like it's deja vu all over again every year with the Dallas Cowboys. Am I wrong?
No.
It just feels that way.
No, it's not.
I read the same comments every year.
Yeah. And
this is the year the Cowboys are going to make Super Bowl. This year the Cowboys got all this talent. The Cowboys are the most talented team in the NFC. And every year, that right out of the gate. Well, they had a tough – and I hear the same excuses. Well, they had a tough schedule start. They have injuries. So does everybody else. Their coaching sucks. Oh, okay. Yay. What? Now, there's no fans in the stands. That's what hurt us. Oh, my God. Stop it. You're just not good. Not yet. You might figure it out. I will say this. If you just get into the playoffs, you can do damage. We've seen teams that didn't get first-round byes, and this year only one team in each conference get a bye, that they could do some special things. The Cowboys are still a team that's capable. I feel like I'm falling into a trap. The Cowboys are still a team capable, with the talent they have, to still win this horrible division, sneak into the playoffs, and pull off an upset and get to the divisional round of the playoffs, or maybe an NFC title game, maybe. But I don't think they're good enough to make the Super Bowl, and right now they're clearly not a threat.
No.
If they can't stop the Falcons and the Browns, well, they almost beat the Seahawks. Yay! Almost! almost counts for nothing. It's a win or lose league.
NFL, you're going to almost win some games against some teams that are way better than you.
Almost every game is close.
It doesn't mean anything.
Almost every game is close. I mean, I just gave you the games. Here we go. Ready? Panthers won by 10. Colts won by 8. Bengals won by 8. Browns won by 11. Saints beat the Lions 35-29 by 6. Vikings beat the Texans by 8. Vikings now 1-3. Texans are 0-4. How about that? Texans have the biggest payroll, or they have the most money tied up, they said, over the next couple of years, and the Texans don't have a first-round pick the next couple of years, and they're 0-4. The Seahawks, against the Dolphin team they should roll, they only won by 8. Well, that's easy. They came off a big win over the Cowboys. They got injuries, too. Dolphins are ready to go, and the Seahawks won by 8. The Buccaneers won by 7. Tom Brady threw another pick 6, but had 5 touchdown passes, threw for 369. Buccaneers, look out for them later in the year because they're only going to get better. I've been warning people about the Bucs. You got to catch them early because once they figure out this timing thing, Brady and Evans and his wide receivers and then Fournette gets going. By the way, he didn't even play yesterday. The Bucs beat a good Chargers team, or I think a solid Chargers team, 38-31. So the Bucs are now 3-1. The Ravens, okay, Ravens and Redskins, that should be, or sorry, not Redskins, Washington football team. That should be a blowout, right? Ravens won by 14. That's not a big blowout. Rams beat the Giants. Giants are horrible. Rams won 17-9, won by 8. Raiders lost by 7 to the Bills. Bills are legit. They're 4-0, first time since 08. And the Eagles came back to beat the Niners 25-20. So when I hear this, we almost won, guess what? Every single team in the league can say that.
Yeah.
Yesterday, every single team, with the exception of the Washington football team, every single team lost.
And the Cowboys. And,
right. I was going to get there. The only team that lost by 2 touchdowns or more was the Washington football team to the Ravens. Every other game was decided by 8 points or less, except for Panthers. They won by 10. Okay, touchdown field goal. And, of course, the Cowboys lost by 11 and should have lost by more. They just piled some on in the second half. So every single game yesterday, in essence, there was no blowout. Every single team yesterday that played a game can argue we could have or should have won. Every single one. Except maybe the Cowboys. So don't get me this. We almost won. No, the Dolphins almost won too. Are you going to give them a cookie?
Yeah, Seattle's still 4-0 despite two teams almost winning against them.
My son yesterday fell in that trap. He goes, oh, man, Seahawks barely beat the Dolphins. I go, who cares? I said, a win's a win.
Yeah.
I said, the Chiefs barely beat the Chargers in overtime and didn't look good doing it. Who cares? They won. You want to lose? Do you want to lose pretty or win ugly? I'll take win ugly every day of the week come Sunday till I'm 6 feet under.
Every time I get into these almost won or, almost lost it. Things, like the one team I always look back to is Ohio State.
Oh, yeah.
In 2003, was it? When they 2002.
Yes.
They beat Miami in the national championship, and they were just like, hanging on every Big Ten game. It seemed like
they were
winning close games, ended up undefeated, played in the national championship.
People said they're not worthy of being in the
call
title
the national
game.
Championship and beat Miami.
Yep.
And I never gave them a chance. Like, Miami's better than some NFL teams.
Yes.
That was the talk back then.
Yes,
Miami
was.
Could beat the Bengals.
Absolutely.
Everybody was talking about
absolutely.
It. Absolutely. And so I never gave Ohio State a chance because all those quote-unquote close games they almost lost, well, they didn't lose any of them. And they didn't lose the close game at the end of the year either.
And Miami wasn't used to close games.
No,
and they came
not
back
at all.
And bite them
so,
in that one too.
You know, we can talk about, they almost lost to this team or whatever. It doesn't matter. You win them all, you win them all. Doesn't matter how pretty they are. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. If you win them all, you win them all.
It's funny. Over the years, I hear so many things from whether it's fans, parents, or even coaches. Well, you take away those 3 long touchdown runs, we did a really good job against them. That was 21 points. You lost by 28. I mean, come on, man. Stop it. You got beat badly. Well, you take away those plays. Well, let's take away a play from you. You know what? You're going to take away their 3 longest plays. Why don't we take away 3 long plays that you had? But somehow we don't do that, do we?
You take away the first quarter, we almost beat them.
Yeah, but see, it's a 4-quarter game. It all counts. They don't give you points for winning quarters.
They were up 30 points in the first quarter, so they took some of their starters out.
Exactly.
That's why.
Point that out. Oh, my. Anyway, Packers, Falcons tonight, Monday Night Football, the regular Monday Night game. That's at 7:50 tonight on ESPN. Falcons 0-3, Packers 3-0. Packers will be a heavy favorite in that one. And then the Patriots, Chiefs tonight. Are you changing the score thing? Because I think you had them down. I the Chiefs winning by a touchdown.
I think I had 31-21. Yeah, I think I'll just keep it like that.
Just keep it like that?
Yeah.
I'll say the Patriots somehow keep it decent for a while. I think the Chiefs might win by more than 7 now, but I could see this game being tight going into at least the midway through the third, but we shall see. It's going to be a weird game. I don't know. This game worries me just a little bit. I know everybody's like, well, Cam Newton's not playing, so why are you so worried? But I don't know. It's a weird dynamic, and there have been some weird things happening in 2020 I think people are aware of. I don't know. I don't even know how to handicap this one tonight. I'll tell you this. I wouldn't bet anything on this game. I know a lot of people are going to say it's automatic win and put your money on the Chiefs, and you might be right.
People tried to put money on the spread right away after Cam went out, and they shut it down. They wouldn't even
that
right
was smart.
When Cam, right when they said Cam was out, you can't bet on this line.
But what would have happened? What would have happened though if you bet that money right away on the Chiefs to cover, and because Cam's out, and then an hour later, Mahomes is out?
Then
you're stuck with your bet.
You're there. You're stuck with it if you bet before the the thing happened with Cam.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you are.
Mm-hmm. People don't think about that, do they?
No.
I would stay away from it, and I did. I didn't bet nothing on this game, and I'm still not going to. All right, K-State. Let's go to college football. K-State wins. It came at a cost. Skylar Thompson had to leave the game midway through the second quarter after a hit that left him clutching his throwing shoulder. Will Howard, freshman, finished the first half. Took the snaps the rest of the afternoon. Threw for 173 yards and a touchdown. First really sustained action of his college career. Played in the game earlier in the year. Did a nice job, I thought. I saw some criticism of Will Howard. I'm like, oh, my God, K-State fans, just chill out.
Calm down.
What are you talking about? Like, let's put this in perspective. This is the instant gratification that people want. You expect a freshman to step in and play like a senior, which is just asinine. And secondly, there was no spring ball. Like, he came in and he was here early. Like, normally he would have had all those reps in spring ball. And there are K-State fans worrying about the next game against TCU. I'm going to tell you right now, could K-State lose at TCU? Sure. Right. They could. I'm not going to say they can't. But I'm going to tell you something. I think Will Howard, with a full week of practice, will be just fine. I think they'll be fine. I think the offensive line is getting better. Deuce Vaughn obviously is a home run threat, which opens things up for maybe the passing game. We got key on number 22. I think Will Howard's going to be fine. I think they're going to have him ready to go. And Will Howard, what did he do horrible in the game the other day? I mean, he made a great rollout and hit Briley Moore for a huge play. It was really the play, I thought, of the game in that second half when Texas Tech was, made their run. I mean, Will Howard, I thought, was pretty poised. And considering he doesn't get a lot of reps and considering there was no spring ball, I thought he did okay. So I don't quite understand the criticism.
I don't either. He missed a couple throws. He's a freshman.
He's a freshman. Skyler's a senior, and he missed throws in the first game.
All the time. And so I didn't get it either. And there was one that was like, careful what you wish for. I don't think people were wishing for Skylar Thompson to go down.
I think there were some people. I think, well, not go down.
For
but I think
Will,
I,
for
I think,
Will Howard.
I think some people I think some people were wanting to see more Will Howard, which always happens.
It's going to happen. But if you're a normal fan and understand the game of football, I don't think you want your senior quarterback to go down that just beat Oklahoma, right?
I agree.
And played very, very well.
I'm talking more people saying that after Arkansas State.
It was after Arkansas State. And I get that. Sure, I understand that. But I think that's that quick reaction. Mm-hmm. That's instant gratification talking about. If you let it cool down a little bit, and even before the Oklahoma game started, they don't believe that still.
Fans don't let it cool
they don't
down.
Even believe that still before the Oklahoma game started, probably.
Right.
A lot of those people have just calmed down as they go on. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know what else you would want from him, right? To go in as a true freshman, to have to come in and know, I'm not here for a couple plays just to let Skyler catch his breath like I was against Arkansas State. I'm in here. I got to do this. This is me right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to take over.
Yeah.
And so, like Kleiman says, we don't open it all the way up for him because he doesn't know all the stuff yet. But we give him his chance to do what he can do. And I that's the way I look at it. I mean, let him go out there. Let him figure out the speed of the game first, okay? This is Big 12 football. He's not in high school anymore. It's not even Arkansas State, to be honest with you, even though Arkansas State beat K-State. This is Big 12 football. You got to figure it all out, get to the speed of the game. And he did some very good things. Like you said, I thought he was very, very composed.
Me too.
Wasn't rattled.
Nope.
Like I say, missed some throws, but everybody's going to do that in their first, big-time action in a Big 12 game, I feel like.
I thought Will Howard did fine. I thought he did fine, and I think some K-State fans are freaking out because Skylar Thompson, he's kind of your security blanket, and now he's going to probably be out for a while. I don't know if he'll be out for the year. I don't know what the situation is going to be.
It didn't look good. I don't think he's going to be playing this weekend for sure, so we'll see what happens after that.
Yeah, I agree with you. So Will Howard's your guy. I mean, Will Howard's actually taller, probably sees the field a little bit better, to be quite honest. I don't know. I think Scott Thompson's a great kid, by the way, and he's a competitor, and I feel sorry for him having an injury, and yet, you know, that happens. It's injuries in football. You know that when you take the field, that can happen, especially at quarterback. And so I feel bad for him, but it is a great opportunity, Will Howard, and this is, and let's be honest, Skylar Thompson's not the future. The future is Will Howard. And so you're going to get an early look at Will Howard. And I remember when Skylar was a freshman, everybody was excited about him, and he had that comeback Oklahoma State and this and that, and like, oh, he's going to be a pro quarterback. And then all of a sudden, you know, things changed a little bit over the time, and then Bill Snyder didn't help things by the jerking him in and out and stuff. And we've seen him be up and down this year. You know, miss some throws against Arkansas State he should have made, and then play pretty doggone well against Oklahoma. But Will Howard's going to be the man, no doubt. Now, Deuce Vaughn. Dude, this kid is worth the price of admission. If I had to pay to watch K-State play football, I would happily pay it just to watch 22.
Yeah.
They tell me, you know what, this K-State football game, Wade, you got to pay $4.99 on ESPN Plus. Well, God, I only get one. Oh, wait a minute. $5, I'm going to watch Deuce Vaughn and K-State and every single game imaginable on ESPN Plus. I guess I'll pay the $5. I'll pay the $5 just to watch Deuce Vaughn get the ball. Quite honestly, I must say, I want to see K-State give Deuce Vaughn the ball every single play. I know that seems a little bit unreasonable. A little bit.
So we came out and they wanted to blitz.
So Deuce Vaughn had the exciting touchdown to cap it the other day.
Here they come over the middle. They've got Vaughn. A first down and then some. Deuce Vaughn breaking free. He'll take this one. Touchdown K-State. On third and five, they hit a 70-yard home run.
Deuce Vaughn, 113 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns. Of course, that 70-yard touchdown catch that put K-State up 10 with just over 2 minutes to go. Every time he touches the ball, you feel like he can go the distance against any kind of competition. And yet Deuce was critical of his last touchdown.
So we came out, and they wanted to blitz. And then I ended up hopping out wide, and they got jumbled up and put a linebacker on me. They had been putting safeties or like nickels on me throughout the game, and then they put 41 on me, who was a linebacker. And right then I kind of looked at Will, and Will kind of looked at me and beat him across his face and then got to running. And that's just one thing that I'm going to have to learn to get down before going into the end zone so we can kneel it down and get out of there, not give them another chance.
Isn't that something? Scores a touchdown. He's apologizing for it. He's right, though. I mean, he's right. I mean, the game's over if he does that. There's no doubt. Whereas you kick off, Texas Tech returns a kickoff. Now they have an onside kick. I mean, he's technically right. I don't think too many fans are going to be mad about him for scoring a touchdown, obviously.
I don't think the coach is probably real mad either.
No, but I'm sure they talked to him about it.
Give him some guidance and say, hey,
next time you might, in that situation.
It doesn't hurt us, but it helps us more if you slide down.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what coaches will say about it.
Sure, and he's right about that. Yeah. So there's a kid that is aware, and I think the next time it happens, he will definitely not go score a touchdown. The selfish thing to do is automatically score a touchdown. Some guys know they're supposed to go down, and they'll still do it because they want the touchdown.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting, himself being most critical of himself for scoring. Mm-hmm. You know, you're pretty good when you're criticizing your own self for scoring a touchdown for 70 yards. here's Chris Klieman, the head coach on Vaughn and that offensive line. It seems to be getting better.
Well, he's obviously a special talent and really good with the ball in his hands. And I can't say enough about our offensive line today. Our offensive line showed up and played exceptionally well. We were down Cooper, Beebe early in the game, so essentially five and a little bit of six guys with a true freshman, Carver Willis, playing a little bit, battled and did a great job of opening up some holes. And Deuce played really well and had a ton of help with the offensive line.
So we talked about Will Howard. What about Coach Kleiman's thoughts on his freshman QB?
Will can handle a ton for a true freshman. And they pressured him, and we knew they were going to pressure him. And the two third down plays that we were able to convert on that last drive, one to Sebastian, he put on the money on a third and five that forced them to use every timeout. And then the third and four or five, he hung in there against pressure and found Deuce. And Deuce makes an explosive play. And That tells me everything I need to know about Will Howard. He's a competitor. He's a winner. He wants the stage, and it wasn't too big for him. And once again, credit the offensive line. They did a great job protecting.
So we talk about Will Howard. We talk about offensive line. We talk about Deuce Vaughn. But there's a guy I think we need to mention, and that's Briley Moore.
Yeah.
He's becoming the go-to guy. I mean, he had the touchdown catch from Skyler in this game, and then he had the big, long he had the catch and catch after the run that really, I thought, changed things when Tech was trying to make their comeback, which was a nice rollout and throw by Howard. But Moore is a nice weapon to have, no question. Chris Kleiman says, believe it or not, the win over Texas Tech bigger than the win over Oklahoma. Now, some people may disagree with that just a little bit.
So proud of the fact that we were able to come back after being down 21-17. And I told the guys in the locker room that was as great a win as the Oklahoma one game was the week before. This was bigger because we had had to bounce back from a big road win, and we came back and played really well against Texas Tech and found a way to win.
You know, on the surface, you hear that, and you're like, you start laughing, like, dude, the win over Texas Tech isn't bigger than Oklahoma. But I get where he's coming from, is that we handled a successful win, an upset win over a top-five team. We came back, then we got down. Our quarterback got hurt. And by the way, for people that missed the game that are listening right now, Texas Tech lost their starting quarterback, too. So had Texas Tech not lost their starting quarterback, this could have been a lot different. Obviously, if both starting quarterbacks don't get hurt, it would have been, I think, you would have seen some more points in this game possibly. But at the end of the day, K-State is 2-0 in the Big 12, and that's the most important thing. And they now will have to roll forward with a freshman quarterback. And I still think K-State's going to be okay.
I'm feeling okay about it. Obviously, we need to see Will Howard more, but I feel all right. I mean, everything that's been going on with this team right now so far this season with all the COVID injuries, how many freshmen were playing, freshmen played on?
Well, at one point, you had a true freshman running back, Deuce Vaughn.
Yeah.
You had true freshman quarterback, Will Howard, and you had a true freshman at left tackle, and you had true freshman, T.J. Smith, who, by the way, stood out.
Oh, my.
With some big-time hits. There was a couple I thought, oh, God, they're going to review that. He might get thrown out of the game for targeting. I mean, he was such vicious hits.
Yeah.
They were legal. Carver Willis, T. Denson played some. There are a lot of true freshmen.
Yeah, I mean, so you add all that up, and you're still able to pick up a win at home.
Big 12.
I mean, you got down.
After you're down.
Yeah, I mean, you're up 14-0 and had that adversity hit you. And during all that, your starting quarterback goes down.
A leader.
And then you got to bring in a new freshman, true freshman, to play the position. I mean, I felt pretty good about it. And, obviously you got to let it all play out, and you got to see how they react when they are pushed into that role. They know now that they're the starter and other teams can have a chance to prepare for them. Not a lot of film on them yet, but they kind of know what to look for, and I'm feeling all right about it. I didn't have real high expectations, like overly high expectations with everything that's going on anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to pick up a couple Big 12 wins after that bad start against Arkansas State, I'm feeling all right.
Absolutely. K-State at TCU coming up this Saturday at 3 o'clock. And K-State's 7-point underdog. Part of the reason they're one, they're on the road, too, is that Skylar Thompson's more than likely going to be out for this game. The other thing is TCU now can game plan for Will Howard, knowing he's going to be the starter, and could show him a lot of different wrinkles.
Yeah.
Whereas if Skylar started and then Will comes in later, they haven't seen a lot of Will Howard. They're game planning for Skylar Thompson. So that will be one of the things that Howard and K-State's going to have to adjust to. I would play you a highlight of KU, but I don't have any. So I'll just give it to Coach Miles. KU loses 47-7, and it wasn't really that close.
Our quarterback left the game early, and we're a team that, needs to put it together. We're fortunate to have Miles lad. Felt like he came in and gave us a spark and got us a couple nice little naked throws and handled the stage pretty comfortably too. So, but we need to put some consistency behind our quarterback play. But I think we will.
Well, there's the problem. Okay, you don't have the clothes on. They made naked throws.
Yeah.
No wonder they're getting crushed.
Isn't it hard to get consistency behind quarterback play when you're always changing the quarterback?
Well, in this case, they had to.
I know they had to change it this week.
They weren't going to.
No, they weren't. But what I'm saying is it's kind of funny. You figured it out 1 week, maybe 2 weeks, who your quarterback actually is.
Right.
But it's hard to get consistency if you don't have consistency with who you're playing there.
No, I agree with you. And on top of that.
And you didn't even bring in Kendrick right after that. Like you said, you bring in Miles Ladd, who hasn't played. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
What do we, like, I get what you're trying to say, but it doesn't sound good when you don't even bring in the guy that actually had some experience playing this year, and then go to another different guy, and it's like, whoa, how many do you have that you don't have?
Words fail me. All I got to say is God bless Les Miles for actually talking to the media. I don't know what you say when you get up there. You talk about getting naked, I guess. I don't know. Jalen Daniels finished 3 for 5 passing with 2 yards, and then he had a foot injury in the first half. The game was long over by the time the fourth quarter came along. KU's now 0-3 overall, 0-2 in the Big 12. They got into the end zone on their 12th possession of the game. KU blown out again. They lose 47-7 Oklahoma State on homecoming there in Lawrence. Oklahoma State had 593 yards of offense, KU total 193, and 110 of that was in the fourth quarter when nothing mattered. Senior punter Kyle Thompson is the most valuable player for KU. He had 9 punts before the fourth quarter began. Yeah, let me say that again. He punted 9 times before the fourth quarter began. Through 2 quarters and 32 offensive plays from scrimmage, KU had 60 yards of offense. Mahomes can do that on one play off his back foot getting crushed on 3rd and 14. Just put it in perspective. Jayhawks punted on every one of their first 7 possessions, and on the final series of the second quarter, they had a pass intercepted. That was their first half offense. KU at West Virginia coming up Saturday, October the 17th. Let's move on. Other Big 12, I don't know what else you want me to say about KU. There's nothing.
We covered it.
I think we did. Oklahoma State rolls 47-7. I guess KU didn't get shut out. Yay. You know, you take away the first 3 quarters of the game, Dusty, KU almost won. K-State over Texas Tech, 31-21, as we mentioned. TCU with the upset over Texas, 33-31. I love, ever since Sam Ellinger said, hey, everyone, the Longhorns are back after beating Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, do you know that the Texas Longhorns are 6-5 in Big 12 conference play? You know what? There must be something in the state of Texas. Every year I hear the Dallas Cowboys are great and have all this talent, and every year I hear the Texas Longhorns are going to challenge for the Big 12 title. Texas is back. The Longhorns have all these great recruits. I kid you not. I think the Texas Longhorns and the Dallas Cowboys are the same team. Underachievers. You know what's? You know, everything's bigger in Texas, including underachieving. TCU over Texas, 33-31. So Texas should be 0-2 in the Big 12, by the way.
Yeah.
Should be. But Texas Tech couldn't, you know, cover an onside kick, or that would be the case. So K-State gets TCU next weekend. West Virginia beats Baylor in double overtime, 27-21. So let's recap this race in the Big 12. I haven't got to the bigger game. Baylor is 1-1. West Virginia is 1-1. TCU is 1-1. Texas is 1-1. Texas Tech's 0-2. K-State's 2-0. Oklahoma State's 2-0. KU, of course, is 0 for everything. And then there's Oklahoma and Iowa State, where Iowa State won for the first time since 1960 over Oklahoma there in Ames. 37-30 was the final. Iowa State is now 2-0, and Oklahoma is 0-2. So here's what you got going for you, KU. If I would have told you before the season KU would be tied with Oklahoma in the Big 12 standings, I think KU fans would be excited about it. Guess what? You are. You're both 0-2 in the Big 12. Are you kidding me? Oklahoma fell out of the top 25 rankings altogether, which they should, and Iowa State won 37-30. Oklahoma's still on defense, can't tackle. I don't know what else to say about that. Spencer Rattler had his moments, certainly. Late interception, which, by the way, his receiver he's thrown to was held. It was a missed call, no doubt. So that's unfair for Spencer Rattler, but still, Oklahoma got outplayed. Iowa State made enough plays, and Iowa State wins. They had the big kick return. Oklahoma got up 30-23, and Iowa State got this long 80-yard kick return. And then, boom, game back on. And Iowa State wins. So the Big 12 race right now, the 3 undefeateds are, just like everybody thought, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, and K-State. Is exactly what we thought. So this week, you've got the barn burner of an Oklahoma-Texas matchup at 11 a.m. on Fox, and Texas Tech-Iowa State on ABC at 2:30, and then K-State-TCU on Fox at 3 o'clock. Those are the 3 games. KU will not lose this weekend, I can assure you of that.
Yes.
As they will have the week off, and then they'll play at West Virginia on October the 17th, and K-State will get next weekend off, but they play this week at TCU. So K-State gets by this game, they'd be 3-0 in the Big 12. They can win at TCU, get a week off, and, of course, you need 2 weeks to prepare for KU. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Well, basketball, but not football. K-State, then we get KU at home. So they beat TCU, and then they'll beat KU. We know that. That'll be 4-0. K-State would be 4-0 in the Big 12. And then go to West Virginia, winnable game. Could be 5-0. Let's start dreaming. And then Oklahoma State at home. You get Oklahoma State at home. And then you go to Iowa State. That game might be for the Big 12 title. So K-State's got as good a chance as anybody to win the Big 12. And who would have thought that after losing Arkansas State week one? Who would have thought Iowa State has as good a chance as anybody to win the Big 12 if they lost to Louisiana and gave up two kick returns for scores and lost by 17 at home? It's exactly what everybody thought.
It's, yeah. I mean, the three teams that are at the top right now did not have good non-con games, even though Oklahoma State won theirs.
Yes.
But, you know, Tulsa's they actually probably a little bit better than we thought they were.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, Oklahoma State right now is clearly the best team in the conference, if you're just looking at what's gone on so far, I feel like, because, you know, winning over in their first Big 12 game, and I know they played KU, that's probably not going to give you
a lot.
I don't
agree with you. They're clearly the best team in the conference. I'm not going to say they're not. I think they clearly are. I mean, who they beaten? They beat West Virginia, and West Virginia beat themselves in that game, if you watched any of that. I mean, that was handed to Oklahoma State, in essence. KU is a glorified scrimmage, and they barely beat Tulsa, which both teams had, you know, practice, stop practice. That was a weird game you threw out the window because of COVID. I can't agree with you on that. I think Oklahoma State is the best team talent-wise of all those.
I just want to play off of that.
But I don't think they're clearly better based on who they played. I don't think you could say they're clearly better. And you look at K-State, the competition they played is just as good or better than what Oklahoma State's played. So
yeah, I think that's probably what was in my mind. Basing it on the talent that Oklahoma State has, and
their rank.
I say that because I saw like a lot of tweets over the weekend that said, "Who would have thought that Iowa State and K-State are the favorites for the Big 12?" And I'm like, "You guys are just kind of
Oklahoma State. But if they get healthy, I mean, if they're fully healthy, Oklahoma State is clearly the favorite right now. I would agree with you there.
And
K-State's got their quarterback out now, so.
Yeah, and I mean, everybody's dealing with injuries.
Sure, and COVID.
And exactly, and so I felt like people were just kind of sliding Oklahoma State this weekend. And I'm like, I don't know that I would do that, because they're the most talented out of these three teams that we're talking about.
I totally agree, and I think
even not healthy,
yeah.
If you without Spencer Sanders, even with everybody else that they've got, I mean, you got Chuba Hubbard, I mean, and Tylan Wallace. I mean,
that helps.
Those two guys right there. And we're not as – I mean, I know they had good games because they were playing KU, but they have good games all the time. They're good players.
Oh, no doubt.
And so, you know, when I say clearly, I probably over-exaggerate a little bit, but I just felt like they were getting a little slighted over the weekend, like just because they were playing KU.
Yeah.
Probably, well, I guess.
Probably why. Clemson beat Virginia top 25, 41-23. Alabama rolled A&M 52-24. Number 3 Florida beat South Carolina 38-24. Number 4 Georgia took care of Auburn, no problem, 27-6. Auburn was 7th. We mentioned Texas, number 9, always overrated. They lost TCU, so they'll fall in the rankings. Tulsa beat number 11, Central Florida, 34-26. Carolina got by Boston College, 26-22. Number 15, Cincinnati wins 28-7. And Mike Leach's offense was awesome in week 1. Week 2, not so much. And number 16, Mississippi State, that's a typical letdown game. They lost to Arkansas. Arkansas lost 20 in a row in the SEC. Arkansas beat Mississippi State 21-14. We mentioned KU losing Oklahoma State. No need to mention that anymore. LSU rolls over Vanderbilt 41-7. Tennessee rolls Missouri 35-12. And SMU beat number 25 Memphis 30-27. And NC State upset number 24 Pittsburgh 30-29. So that's a look at the top 25 from over the weekend. Major League Baseball playoffs. The divisional series get underway today. It's the American League's turn to kick it off. ALDS game 1. It's the Astros versus the A's. Let's see. That is... Where is that at? Oh, darn it. This one doesn't say.
They're playing in L.A.
LA? Okay.
Yeah.
Wish they put that on the game-by-game schedule. So Astros and A's game 1 of the best of 5 there. 3:07 on TBS. Yankees, Rays. The other ALDS best of 5, 7:07 on TBS. And then tomorrow, if you love baseball, 4 games. Marlins, Braves at 1:08. Astros, A's game 2, 3:37. Yankees, Rays game 2 at 7:10 tomorrow night. And Padres, Dodgers, which I think could be a great series. That'll be 8:38 tomorrow. You know, if you're a Royals fan, you know the team you should be cheering for is clearly the Padres. I mean, there's all kinds of Royals on that team. You got Eric Hosmer, Tim Hill they traded to the Padres. Trevor Rosenthal was traded to the Padres. I mean, those are recent Royals. Who else is on the Padres? There's somebody else for the Royals that's on there. Tim Hill, Matt Strom. Oh, Will Myers, former Royal. Eric Hosmer. I gave you 4 or 5 right there. Rosenthal.
Yeah, there's probably somebody else. There's another like pitcher I feel like that was there when they were doing the Gordon tribute.
Yeah, okay.
And had like the pine tar in the back of the jersey.
Strom.
Yeah,
I mentioned that.
Did you say Strom?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Strom, Hill, Rosenthal, Hosmer. I think there's five.
And I think it was Hill that I saw. So it was Hill, Strom, and Hosmer, I think, that I saw in the picture.
So anyway,
Will Myers was a prospect. He wasn't really never really played any games for the Royals. But, you know, obviously he was in the system and part of the organization. So
they call it Santiago.
Yes.
I'm going for Santiago. I am. Sorry, my neighbor's a Dodgers.
I saw a couple people like, I'm cheering for the Reds this postseason. I like Moose. He's an old Royal. And I'm like, well, there's a lot more old Royals in San Diego than Cincinnati.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I don't know. The Padres and Dodgers had two of the best records in NL, and they're going to play each other in the divisional series. So I think the winners of the Padres-Dodgers series wins the National League. But do you know that when the Marlins have made the playoffs, every year they made the playoffs, they've won the World Series? You talk about a crazy story. If the Marlins would go on win this whole thing.
Man.
Well, first of all, they should have never been in the playoffs, the expanded playoff field. Yeah. I love the other day, I happened to flip around, and I don't try to watch. I don't purposely watch ESPN very much anymore unless there's games I want to watch that are on ESPN. And Tim Kurkjian was talking with Sage Steele, and they were talking about how this is an unbelievable story. And to lose 105 games last year and then to make the playoffs this year, what an amazing feat. I'm like, you left out a really important nugget. They expanded the field to 8. In the National League, you normally would have how many teams?
Five.
Five.
Yeah, because it's just one game wild card.
And the Marlins' record was what? 29 and 30?
31 and 29.
So they're barely over 500. Oh, it's amazing what the Marlins did. First of all, it is amazing what they did based on how the guys they had to sign and they had to miss a week.
Yeah, I think it's
that's amazing.
Than what they did, whatever they did
last year.
But
making the playoffs to me isn't as, you know what would be amazing? What they went through this year and over 162 game season, they got into the playoffs and did what they did. And in a reduced field.
Yeah.
The regular field of playoff teams. But this year, it's not as hard. I mean, they're acting like this is amazing what they did. It is amazing that they were still, you know, able to overcome what they did. But they picked the perfect year to deal with it because there's only 60 games instead of 162. And eight of the 15 teams in the National League make the playoffs. So all you had to do is be in the top half, and they barely got in. And it's just this crazy, unbelievable story about the Miami Marlins. They lost 105 games last year. Well, if we played 162 this year, the Marlins might have lost 95.
Yeah. Got to sell the Marlins somehow because it's not a sexy team to be looking at in the playoffs. All so you got to sell it somehow.
The Marlins, I'm telling you, every time they make the playoffs, they win the World Series. That part Tim Kurkjian mentioned, he's right because he is a stat geek, and he has that information, no doubt. But excuse me for not being as impressed as Tim Kurkjian and Sage Steele about the amazing way they made the playoffs. Dude, did anybody understand that baseball added three teams to the playoffs? They added three teams. That increased your chance to make the playoffs by, I don't know, 1,418%. I'm just pulling out a number.
An awful lot.
Let's put it as a lot. All right, if you want to watch a little JV football tonight, Beloit at Phillipsburg, long trip up Phillipsburg, Beloit Trojan fans, you can watch it live video stream at ncksports.com, the Beloit Trojan channel starting at 5 o'clock. Our whole broadcast schedule posted at ncksports.com. We look forward to high school football coming up this weekend. We'll go through our schedule, but in case you can't wait for us to talk about it, it's there at ncksports.com. Once again, Chiefs, Patriots, Dusty and I both picking the Chiefs. Listen, for the rest of Patrick Mahomes' career probably, if he's healthy, I am never picking against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. I did on the Express last week, changed my mind, luckily, or the week before. I changed my mind, luckily, before that Monday night game. We went with the Chiefs. But I don't even know why we'd even consider picking anybody to beat the Chiefs when Mahomes at quarterback. I know the Chiefs are not going to go, at least I think, they're not going to go undefeated. But they're going to be favored in basically every single game they play. And if they're ever an underdog, you should bet the money on the Chiefs. And that's what some people did and made some good money on that Chiefs win over the Ravens, I've heard through the grapevine. So
you
got the best quarterback in the league. You go ahead and you ride that stallion, baby. And the Chiefs and the Patriots, I'm picking Chiefs. Dusty's picking Chiefs. I don't even care how many they win by. They win by one, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. They win by 40, I'm like it even more because it's the Patriots. But Chiefs-Patriots tonight on Z96.3 The Lake. Note the game time, 6:05 kickoff, pregame at 5 o'clock. Anything else, Dusty?
If they almost win, it doesn't count.
That's right, unless you're a Cowboy fan.